Welcome back to Committed to Christ. Greg, Kelly, and Dexter with you. You know, one of the funny things, we always have to tell our listeners something about our dog. Because he is part of the pod. Yeah, so he does a lot of talking. He was going to say he is part of the podcast.
We just need some interpretation.
Yeah, that. But one of the funny things that he does is he backs up a lot. And it's funny to watch him.
Like, because, walks backwards.
Yes, yeah,
backs,
that's what I mean.
Backs out of things. If he's right. Trapped, he backs out. He doesn't, yeah, turn around and try to go out the
other
way.
It's very comical because he's actually pretty good at doing it. Yeah. But
he needs a beeper.
Yeah. Beep, yeah. Beep, beep. Anyway, well, hey, I have a question for you. Have you ever had to administer CPR on someone?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you ever been trained in CPR?
Well, yeah, but I didn't really learn anything. I don't think I have.
You can't remember it?
No.
Do you think you could if there was a situation, like if somebody was?
No. No, I don't.
Okay.
I think I would have to. The best thing for me to do is call 911.
It's not a trick question.
And pray over them. So I could get down and pray with them, but that's the best I could do. That's what I would start doing. I would call 911 and talk to Jesus.
somebody's choking out.
Yeah. And Jesus. Now, praying. You know, don't laugh because God's a miracle worker.
So. Well, to give you a little backstory from me, when I was a little kid, do you remember the mints that you usually get? They usually have them at the checkout of restaurants, like the breath mints. After you pay your bill, you can take one. Yeah, the star mints. Yeah. They're round. They have the red swirl on them.
Oh, yeah, peppermint. Mm-hmm.
So when I was a little kid.
They have green ones that are spearmint, too. Just a little note. Yeah, I like them. I know what you're talking about. When you were a little kid.
When I was a little kid, I had one of these in my mouth. I was probably 5 years old. And somehow I had ingested it or sucked it down my windpipe, and I was choking on it.
Oh, I know what I would do. Tip you upside down.
That's exactly what happened to me.
Gravity.
Yes.
Right?
My dad grabbed me by my ankles and literally shook me, and the mint came out, and I was all good after that. But yeah, it was a very serious situation. That actually happened, I think, with both of my brothers as well. So we banned those candies from our house. We're like, okay, yeah. No more. That's exactly why lifesavers have a hole in the middle, because if you do ingest one down in your windpipe, you can at least still breathe.
Do they even still make
Fun
lifesavers?
Fun fact for you. Yeah.
They do? I haven't seen lifesavers in a really long time. Yeah. I guess I don't really look at the candy aisle. If it isn't chocolate, I just keep going.
Okay.
I'm only going to take one of those mints if they're free.
Well, back to the CPR. So yeah. I have been certified in CPR several times.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing to take a refresher. I've never had to use it, but I've actually seen it done in an emergency situation with someone, and the person that was called, that's the first thing you're supposed to do when somebody goes down. You need to ask, is there anybody here that knows CPR? And if there's any volunteers, you get a helper. If you know how to do it, you get a helper so they can count you, trade off, because you're going to get worn out from doing the chest compressions.
Okay.
So anyway.
So I would just be the one standing on the side calling 911.
Or you could be praying as well. But, yeah. But that's the whole thing is we don't want to be bystanders in an emergency situation. That's what we're going to be covering tonight is the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10. Because there are laws in place. Actually, the Good Samaritan laws are in place and effective in a lot of most states in the United States. Actually, I think all states have some sort or some kind of Good Samaritan law. And which basically means that if something happens to someone and you step in to help that person out, if they end up dying, succumbing to whatever they're going through, you are covered legally by whatever state you're in.
Okay.
So basically, you did the right thing. You were the Good Samaritan. You didn't.
So we're not going to punish you.
You weren't
if,
right.
If
we're,
you can't yeah, revive this
you stepped
person
in,
or keep this person
You
alive.
Tried to do the right thing and help someone out.
Interesting.
And that's, like I said, that's what I wanted to kind of talk about on our podcast, because in Luke chapter 10, there was an expert in the law or a lawyer that came to Jesus, and he came to Jesus to test him, basically, in the law. Why don't we go ahead and get started here, and okay. I can start reading here in Luke chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 25. It says, on one occasion, an expert or a lawyer, in the law stood up to test Jesus. Now, that's what lawyers do, right?
Right,
they like to kind of rake people over the coals. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? Now, that was like a counter, a rebuttal from Jesus to this lawyer.
What is written in the law?
Yeah, how do you interpret what you're reading? Because lawyers know loopholes.
Right.
They can get around, they can weave in and out of laws to get somebody out of something or to justify somebody else.
Right.
Okay. Verse 27, he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, little did he know that he was going to be tested in that. All right, verse 28. This is Jesus' reply. You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. Verse 29 says, but he wanted to justify himself, the lawyer did. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now, quick question there for you. Why do you think that the lawyer wanted to justify himself? What do you think was his motive in that?
Well, I think because he thought he was doing all those things, but then when Jesus put it in that situation, he was thinking about all the people that he doesn't really like, that he doesn't yeah. really talk to,
yeah.
you know, that he avoids. And if neighbor meant what he thought Jesus was going to tell him it was, he was uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
About it.
I agree with you. I agree with you completely. Verse 30 says, in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, stop right there. Now, you were reading, doing a little bit of study on this too, and you said more than likely the person that was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho was a Jew.
That was a way that they traveled.
Yeah, on that road. But the type of person that was going to be traveling that road most likely was going to be a Jewish man
right.
or woman. Okay. Verse 31. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Totally avoided him. Not a good thing to do.
You know, he could have been in a hurry and just thought, I don't have time for this. I got to say, I read this and think, there's a lot of times.
You have a little conviction?
Yes, I did. Because when I realized, especially as I was reading the commentary, and it was talking about why the lawyer said, when he said, well, who is my neighbor? Because I've thought that. Like, there's been times when I've been in a hurry and I'll see someone and I'll be like, oh no, I don't
half
have
to- dead?
No, not even half dead.
Oh, okay. Not even. Oh my goodness.
No, I mean, like,
you need
the
to
store.
Listen to this podcast over and over again.
I didn't mean it that way.
I know.
I just meant I see people.
And our listeners
know
you didn't mean it that way, too.
Thank you. Anyway.
Verse 32. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him pass by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. Totally not anything you would do.
When I saw him, I would take pity on him. No, I mean, I can see the wrong thing
you.
Was because these people were supposed to be people who loved the Lord.
The Levite and the priest.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And that was where I had conviction. I've never left anyone on the side of the road.
Half dead.
Half dead.
Okay.
Now, if it was a man and I was by myself, the man might be on the side of the road. I might call 911, but I don't know that I would stop.
I understand.
Okay.
Verse 34, he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a good neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So at the beginning of this parable or story, the lawyer thought that
he was going to trap Jesus.
Yeah, he interpreted, you know, Jesus asked him, how do you read the law? And he answered him with, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I did a little digging on the Samaritan, Good Samaritan law in Israel. Israel has one. And according to their law, you are required to help someone in distress. So the Levite and the priest, as they were walking down the road and saw this individual, was required to help this man. But neither of them did. They actually went on the other side of the road and totally avoided him. So Jesus tells them the story, the lawyer, he's telling them the story, which just like blew my mind. Because when Jesus answered these teachers of the law or these Pharisees or lawyers or whoever they were, he always used their own law against them and showed them what they weren't doing.
He discerned their spiritual atmosphere, what was going on inside of them, not just what everybody saw on the outside.
Right, because like he's telling this guy, all right, you're a lawyer, here's a priest, here's a Levite, and here's a man who's just got robbed. He got beat up, they left him for dead. These guys see him and totally avoid him. They go to the other side of the road. They know they're supposed to help him, but they didn't. And a Samaritan comes along who the Jews absolutely hate,
right?
Because they don't worship in the same place. They have their own temple. They do their own thing. A Samaritan comes along and does the right thing. He takes care of this man. He bandages his wounds. He takes him to an inn where the guy can recover. He pays all of his expenses. And, you know, part of the law in Israel says if you have expenses that you've put out to help someone, you're entitled to receive that back. And the Samaritan goes to the innkeeper and he says, listen, if you have any expense for this guy, I will totally reimburse you for whatever cost you may have. The Samaritan took ownership.
Because you're supposed to love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Right. He took ownership over this guy. He wanted to make sure that this guy was going to recover. He did the right thing by God, and he took care of him. And Jesus is saying to the lawyer, this is how you need to live.
This is who your neighbor is.
Yeah, quit looking for loopholes in the law.
Right, to try and get away out of, make your false, because I think that he knew it. He was justifying himself. That's what the whole thing is, that he was trying to justify his actions because Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit like he was, just could discern what was going on in that man's heart. And he knew. So when he talked to him, it was so personal, right? The Holy Spirit was dealing with that man and he knew he wasn't what he should have been.
That's right.
And he was trying to defend himself. Say
that Jesus pointed out, listen, you haven't been right. doing this without directly saying,
you know,
it.
This can happen in my own life, because there's times when I'll do something and then I'll turn it around and be like, well, I can think of, okay, the Levite and the priest, maybe they had somewhere they had to be. They were on a time schedule. They needed to get to the synagogue to preach. And this man is laying on the, and they knew someone else would be coming along. Someone else would take care of him. In their mind, you know, you're justifying it.
They needed to go preach what they weren't doing.
Exactly. but no, I mean, these are real things that people deal with in their head. And then you justify it if you can make it even more personal. I mean, we do it all the time.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Yes, with other people. Okay, my phone rings and it's somebody that's calling me that I know is like, oh man, you know, do I really want to answer this? But I wouldn't want that person to do that to me. I can answer it and then just say, once I notice, if I know that it's not an emergency. And a lot of times when I do answer it, I'm glad that I did. You know, I'll be in the middle of something. Devil will do that to me all the time because I don't really do anything else. Phone will ring. I'll be like, oh, I'm right in the middle of this. I'm reading this really good book right now, you know, and then I'll answer it. And it's so good that I did, because I get a time where I get to pray with somebody, or, you know, like you're always on call. So this priest and this Levite, who were actually incapacity of serving, as representatives of God himself, totally missed it.
They were in the office of servanthood.
They totally missed it because they were too busy. And that's what I, when I read that, that was my conviction, is that, am I too busy to stop and see that person on the side of the road?
Well,
you know, not literally, but figuratively.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, are we too busy in our own lives,
right,
to help somebody?
Because God's not.
That's injured, I mean, nowadays, if you look on the news, there's all kinds of cell phone clips that show people getting beat up or robbed or whatever. And now people want to record something before they want to jump in and help.
Right.
I mean, how awful is that?
Right.
I mean, I've seen, there's video clips out there of police being attacked, and there's bystanders recording the thing happening rather than jumping in and helping an officer out.
Doing the right thing.
Being the good Samaritan.
Yeah, and one thing I noticed too when you were talking about that, the Samaritan actually took the man and put him on his horse, his donkey, whatever he had at the time, and he walked so that the man, the animal could carry the man. So he was so selfless, and that is what we're supposed to be. That is what Jesus was trying to tell these people.
Right,
and you're missing it.
That's what Jesus told us to do. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Right.
The kingdom of God is people. We are to love people. We are to show God's love to people, not walk on the other side of the road.
Right.
When we clearly see a problem happening.
Now, I was going to say too, when I was reading the commentary and they were talking about that, you know, one of the guys said, it doesn't mean that the Good Samaritan went and he started a hospital and he did all this, you know, so we have to use our discernment, because sometimes it can start out where you're helping somebody and it can quickly get turned into something. I was like, what did I get myself involved in right now? You know, knowing when to just using the Holy Spirit, letting God guide you.
Right.
Yes.
There are some situations that we
right.
don't
so
need
I'm just
to get
saying that because I don't want people to think let's talk about this. One of the hardest things for me is when I'm driving down the road and I see somebody standing on the roadside on the corner, like at an exit. It happens a lot in the summer here, where they have a sign,
mm-hmm.
You know, need food, have
homeless, we'll work for food, sure.
You know, yeah, veteran, God bless you, which is used a lot here, and it doesn't mean God bless you. I mean, it's just thrown around like a word. That's a struggle that I have, discerning whether or not that person really truly
is
needs
in
help,
need. Right?
Or do they not?
Well, when you have somebody out there doing that and they have their Venmo number up, yeah, sorry, that's probably not going to happen. Well, one quick story here before we close out. Back in the day, I worked for my family's restaurant all through high school. And there was a family in there that was having a birthday party for their son, who was probably kind of that preteen age.
Uh-huh.
So he had all of his friends there. I mean, it was packed. And they were playing pinball and all the video games, because our restaurant had a bunch of games and stuff in it. So they were all having a good time.
It was before cell phones were a big thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the kids whose birthday it was ended up having a seizure.
Oh.
It was very, very sad. And he was, you know, once it was over, he was pretty embarrassed that it happened. And that was kind of the end of his party. But I remember while it happened, uh-huh. there were, I mean, a whole bunch of people that jumped in to help this kid out. His parents knew what to do because it had happened before. They were
focused.
They were very focused on him, and they took control and they told people what they needed them to do. They gave somebody the job of calling 911. They gave somebody else the job of securing his feet, because in his head, not his mouth, because they bite.
Right.
You know, when you have a seizure.
Right.
But they knew what they were doing. They gave people jobs, and like I said, they jumped in and they were able to help. Nobody was standing around gawking. You know, the parents took control and assisted this kid, and he came out of it just fine. And the whole point is, they were able to jump in there and help. They knew what to do. They were prepared for it. And that's, I mean, if you want to talk worldly here for a minute, we should be prepared for that. you know, if you're at Walmart grocery shopping and somebody has a heart attack and keels over, what do we do? Do we just stand there and watch? Or are we going to be that good Samaritan? Are we going to jump in and help? What can I do? Call 911. Does somebody know CPR? Does, you know, all these things. So anyway, the whole point of all of this is to love people, to right. show God's love to people, to extend God's love. That's our job as Christians.
I can take that even a step further too, because it's not always about the physical. Sometimes it's the emotional. You and I were talking, you know, you go into a store or you go somewhere and the person behind the counter, you can tell is just not having a good day, and praying for them, caring enough that even if you don't say anything when you leave and you get into your car or as you're walking out, or maybe there is a situation where you can say, can I pray for you?
Yeah.
You seem to be really having a bad day. You know, that is another side of that. That is people do struggle. People do need that. If we could all just do that and care more,
mm-hmm.
because that's another side of being a good Samaritan,
right.
is loving them like you love yourself.
Absolutely. Well, hey, I hope that y'all are encouraged through that. I maybe go back and check that parable out again and do a little bit of study on that and let God just kind of check your heart.
How many times have you heard that story and not, it's never gets old. It's always a good story to read.
Right.
Yeah.
So much so that there's even laws
right.
for right. it. All right. Well, we love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Please like, share, and subscribe. We will talk to you soon.